When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Hello, everyone. It's Poodle coming at you for B90 Season 6, Episode 7, Part 2, with my special guest, special guest specialist, Mary Payne from Pink Shade, Mary Payne Gilbert.
Hey, special specialist. Okay, I'll take it.
Special specialist guest. Mm-hmm. Every time I have to say your name, it's like... when I'm saying that, like, if a woman is, she's like a church, because she can't be a pastor, because women can't be pastors. Oh my God.
No.
Perish the thought. She's going to be our children's mission leader, Mary Payne Gilbert.
Okay. Well.
It always feels that way to me.
I am Southern. But I'm
we both are, yes.
I'm nobody's Sunday school teacher.
You are not. Saying? You are definitely no one's Sunday school teacher.
Nobody needs that. Nope.
Thank you for, this is kind of our first show back. Maddie is, those of you know, he had a little bit of reconstructive surgery, but without an accident happening. And
he looks great. He's doing great.
He'll be back next week. But I have a series of wonderful guests filling in for him. Mary Payne is the third. I did Toe with DocuSweeties Chris and Wah. And I did, what else? I did another Below Deck, or we did Below Deck with Pat and Dylan from another Below Deck podcast, which was so much fun. And then I'm doing You, Me, and My Ex finale with Kim Cray from Cray 90 Day Cray Cray. So it's been a fun old home week with guests.
That's right. Don't you love to have guests? I have guests every week. I love it.
I enjoy, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of people,
but
I do enjoy people I already know.
Got it.
I like people. Unlike Statler, I do not enjoy cleaning robots or robots in general. We in Los Angeles, we have these these robots that carry like documents, and I always have this urge to like trip them or push them over.
I've seen that. They have them on college campuses now. Like yeah. It's like a Uber Eats, but they put the food in the thing and then it take. Now, how do you get it out of the Uber Eats box? Do you have a code
I'm not sure, but I think it's all a big conspiracy to make us more okay with robots. That's my tinfoil Hattie, America's conspiracy theory drag queen theory. Tinfoil okay. Hattie, the moon landing wasn't real.
I'm not okay with robots. I'm not okay with AI.
Like them.
I'm not okay with robots.
I don't trust it all.
I do have a Roomba, but she's not plugged in because she really doesn't do a very good job. So I've given up on her.
I've stopped using Chauncey, my Roomba, because Chauncey one day got stuck in a shag rug and he could not find his way out and basically ate a lot of my shag rug.
Yeah.
And I can't program him any other way. So I just have someone who cleans my house like everyone else in Los Angeles now.
Yeah, we have a lady that cleans the house, but sometimes I like the Roomba. It's really entertaining for me and the dogs. The dogs like to chase the Roomba around and bark at it, and it's entertainment. Really, so we have the robots to entertain the dogs is what I'm getting at.
I'm okay with robot entertainment. I'm worried when we become the entertainment for the robots. That's what I'm worried about.
Okay.
I know. Right. Anyway.
This just got dark.
That's me. It always gets a little dark.
A little dark.
I'm always living just like one frame away from my own version of Daddy's Box. Which I still say is the darkest fucking thing I've ever seen on this show.
It's we had a lot of therapists weigh in. We had one that weighed in that said, you know what, if that's the way they're dealing with it, then it's fine. And another one said, absolutely fucking not. This is terrible.
Yeah. My thing with it, if that's the way they're dealing with it, to me is kind of fine. I don't know if they're white knuckling Daddy's Box, then maybe she shouldn't be going to Romania. That's where I was.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's 100%. We can agree there.
If you're taking Daddy's Box with you in the Uber, it may be time to cancel your flight. Anyway. Y'all,
I agree.
We're talking episode 7 of season 6 called Fatal Attraction. I won't be ignored. What's his name in that movie?
Dan,
I won't be ignored.
That's a GIF, however you say it, that I'd love to send to people. When you send them a text and they don't respond, I'll give them about 20 minutes, and then that's what they're getting.
That's a good one.
Glenn Close walks into the frame. I won't be ignored, Dan. And I'm like, I'm not going to be ignored, Dan. You will write me back. I sent you a text.
Do you have red on your text? Do you allow red messages or red receipts?
For people to see that I read it?
Yeah.
No.
I don't either.
They don't need to know.
I hate that. And I understand why people do it, especially for business. I don't want anyone knowing that I read their text. Sometimes I cannot get back to you right away because I've had something either pressing or I need to think about what I'm going to say. And I don't want you knowing I've read it so you can stew about it.
I just like sometimes I get it and I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm doing 12 other things and maybe in an hour I can respond, but I can't just, if it's not yes or no, then I might have to, yeah.
I think we all need to stand up and say, we don't need these as a culture. We don't need red receipts. I understand them. I think it puts way too much undue pressure on the person being texted.
Yeah, there's a whole phrase for it. You left me on red. You left me on red.
I know.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I don't ever want someone to be on red.
Yeah, but it's like in the olden days when people would leave you a message on your answering machine, and you would get it when you got home from work. You would press the button. You would hear your messages. You would write them down and call. Let's get back to that.
I'm not old enough for that. So.
Oh, whatever. Whatever.
Not me checking my message machine when I was in college constantly.
Yes. And then when they gave you that feature where you could call from the outside to call your machine to check your messages, that's when it started. That's when all this shit started. It wasn't like when you got home. Once you could call into your answer machine and get your messages, oh my God, it was over. It was over.
Oh, we all were. Culture was changed forever. I want to talk with you. Just, we were talking about the new season of Toe, which came out this week, season 5. And if you're like, wait, didn't it just end? Yeah. Matt Sharp's decided, and I think TLC has decided, that we're going to give you all the 90-day fiancé penis you want. Just slap your face. Just not get your sign. If you're seeing the intimate portrait, Mary Payne has a sign she uses when she collabs with us. It's an actual stop sign. Mm-hmm. And I believe that shows like You, Me, and My Ex, maybe even this season past season of Love in Paradise was not very good. And I think they weren't getting as good ratings. And I think all the way back as January and February, I think TLC, the fat cats, the kind of like old men in suits who run TLC, Matt Sharp, we need Scandoval. I need Scandoval ratings. And yeah, that's like my Gary Busey voice that I use. Gary Busey.
You gotta mess up your hair and get your teeth.
And it was kind of like, they said, we need Scandoval numbers. I need 8 more shows. So I don't know. I think it has something to do with that because Scandoval was the first to kind of to catapult ratings that high.
Yeah.
And they all want it.
And now Kyle Richards has done it again with The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills by taking a lesbian lover.
Right. That's true.
Allegedly or whatever.
Allegedly. But didn't they say they're working it out? But they're not.
They're living separately, but they'd like their privacy respected during this time. Now, meanwhile, Kyle
of course and she does.
This girl are out there getting matching tattoos and whatnot. But Andy on his show earlier this week, I can't even tell you what day specifically, a caller called in and said, hey, did you guys pick up cameras like you did with the Scandoval? Did you pick up cameras?
Yeah.
And he literally was like, how should I, and John Hill was trying to help him. John's like, you are considering it. And he's like, how, He was like, it was a 30 second him and haw. Finally he goes.
And that doesn't happen with Andy Cohen.
No, he always has an answer. And knowing, of course, he's going to be asked this.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'll just say this. You will see some of it play out because they put cameras down in May. And so obviously they picked cameras back up.
Of course they did.
Of course they did. But he wouldn't say it. He said it about Scandoval. He wouldn't say it because he's probably like everything with Scandoval. There were so many leaks that you knew so much before. He was just like, how should I answer that? Yeah. So basically, yes, it will. And of course, that's making us want to watch Beverly Hills more.
Yeah.
It has the desired effect.
I'm just glad that Countess Luann is back on our televisions. I've got to say, I did watch Crappy Lake, and same. I was thoroughly entertained.
Of course.
I never thought I would watch Luann Noodle.
Can you imagine how awful that would be? I think those two are up for anything. You know, if
they
it was like Ramona would be like, well, I'm not doing that. I wouldn't get my hair wet. You know, these two were
Sonia and Luann will do anything.
They'll do anything. That's why they're perfect for this show. Sonia will, she talks about pooping her pants, popping her teeth out. Like, she didn't give it. She didn't care. She didn't care. She didn't give two shits.
I watched that and I was thoroughly entertained because these are two women at the top of their game. They know exactly what they're doing. And I just thought, this is genius. And Bravo, you deserve everything you get with this. Good job. I'm going to watch every single episode.
Me too. They put out two at once. I was like, thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking a little bit about Toe, and we talked about Brandan and Mary, and as well as
Dan,
as Rapunzel and Ronald 2.0 as well. But I want to talk Julio as Kirsten says Julio,
Julio
and Kirsten the Dutch Barbie. One thing I'm a little, I was a little worried, and I think Dr. Sweeties may have convinced me, especially Wah said, remember, they did live together for 2 months already. So Julio and Kirsten have lived together for 2 months. So maybe it is better. I just got the idea that he was a DJ and he liked to travel. And it was one of those good vibes only. And he hadn't told anybody in his family yet, but he's waiting for the shame that happens. Because we heard his mother say things like, well, no, you just enjoy and I'll sit here and suffer.
I'll just be alone forever. It's fine.
So maybe we understand why he didn't tell her. I will say he is hot. He is fine. Woo!
He's gorgeous. He's gorgeous. And
Maddie's gonna freak when he gets back.
I don't love a little wiki wiki. I don't enjoy a DJ. I don't enjoy that as a profession, but he's gorgeous. And that girl is, I was like, is that a filter? Nope. That's just her gorgeous face. Yeah.
I will say there was a part where she had a different talking head, and I don't know if this was intentional, but she had a procedure with her lips done in between.
Oh no, it was a little bit of whoa.
I was like, y'all need to schedule these at the same time. Don't do her that way.
She got a little lip flip in the midday during the shooting.
She was just like, but they were talking about it. They didn't know. They're like, we need to be with each other. And maybe we don't know each other in the cultures as well. And she's like, well, how can I find good Gouda there? Are they going to have wooden shoes?
She was pretty. I like looking at her. She's gorgeous.
Can I take my bike? I think she's fine. I think either it's one of those storylines, whether there's not a lot of stakes and they're fine, or there's one big secret and it's going to be horrific.
I just was going to say, somebody has a secret. One of those two has a secret. Because you can't get through the season without somebody having a secret.
I was the little girl who pulled her finger out of the dike. That's her secret.
Wow, that's a real current reference.
I think that was like 300 years ago.
I was about to say, throwing it backed up. Yeah.
Anyway, and then there's Kenny and Armando. And I'm just going to be honest. I love them. I love them to death. I think the storyline is pretty low stakes for me. I don't really... I was talking to Michelle from Blighty Day about this. I think Armando is bored. I think that's why he wants another baby. Because he hasn't found what he wants to do yet. And
Yeah. Well, he had that career with that family, you know, dog business. Yeah. And then he doesn't have that anymore. I mean, there was like a business owner.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have it anymore. Yeah.
I think he's bored. And Kenny's always fun to watch. Just know, it'll be lovely what we'll see. But... I think a lot of it will be them going places in Mexico City because it takes so fucking long to get anywhere there. Sorry.
When you were talking earlier on the earlier episode about Mexico City, I was like, did you see the Kenny and Armando? Because they were in the car like this traffic. And he's such like a country boy to put him right in that. Get a starter city. Get a smaller city.
I kind of agree. Yeah. Because Mexico City is a huge fucking city. We're talking like... I want to say
crime. It's not a crime there.
20,
right?
20 million in certain parts. Yeah. I want to say it's 20 million people in Mexico City, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
And I'm like, you guys live like on the ocean.
Exactly. There are very nice parts of Mexico City, like Condesa and things like, or Condesa and things like that. But like there are anywhere outside of the tourist districts there's a lot of poverty. You can, I liked when I visited, it's beautiful, had a lot of great food, but I was a privileged tourist staying in a very nice hotel.
Right, of course, right.
That was my experience of Mexico City. When we were going through certain parts of it, I was like, yeah, this is not so nice. I imagine.
Are Kenny and Armando talking about getting a surrogate and all that? I mean, that's years. It's years down the line before they would have a baby, and he's already 60. I would be like, fuck no.
That's why I think this is kind of a non-starter of a storyline. But I'm happy. I think they are on the show because they think we're representing a gay couple on this show. We can only do good with this. We can use this platform. Great. Yeah. I like it that I love them. They're great people. In the way that they've interacted with us, they've been nothing but kind to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they're on the show. I just don't know if there's that much stakes. But again, I'm happy. Maybe Armando will have a breakdown and leave Kenny, and Hannah
no.
will. I know. I'm not wanting this to happen.
No.
I'm just. No.
How dare you? No. I love them so much. I love. They have to be protected.
Hannah
at all
becomes
costs.
A bad seed.
No. Oh my God. No. I think she's just speaking perfect English in the backseat.
Oh, God, what an icon. What a fucking icon she
is. Kenny's in the front like, uno.
Lo siento.
We'll be there in uno hours. I was like, oh, no. He has learned zero English. I mean, zero Spanish. Not even four
Como
words.
Como esta busy Mexico City. Yeah.
I can't believe he's 60. Boy, he looks good.
I gotta take all my serums.
I know. Like, tell me what the serums are. I need to look.
I know.
Like that
everyone was like, "Tell us the names."
Screenshot. Yeah. What are they? Yeah.
Anyway, I think this season of Toe, and it's only gonna be. I'm down to 1 hour, I believe, for the rest of the season. So I know. Please don't make it longer. But it's gonna go for a very long time. We've heard. So it's gonna be like the first season of Toe. Remember? Where
it was
like 22 episodes.
Okay.
So
you know that when you get that information, you have to pass it to me as I pass it to you.
Immediately.
For the scheduling, because you and I are the ones with like, I've got the spreadsheet, the
Mary
schedule.
Payne,
and I've,
we're
yes.
both obsessed with scheduling. And
scheduling.
It's the only way I remain, I can have any sense of control over my fluctuating life.
Yeah.
And I desperately need that.
The schedule. I mean, you asked me a question. I'm like, let me pull up my spreadsheet. I've got it on the schedule.
I know. Yeah. We need to trade. I just found that out recently that it would be 1 hour.
Well, Kimberly and I were talking about it, or Amy Archer, somebody I was talking about with one of my co-hosts, and I was like, it can't be. We can't have it. The Toe being
two
hours in addition to we're also covering Temptation Island.
Yeah, there's
in the
no
same,
way.
I was like, I can't do 3 hours.
Yeah. Let's
tired.
Anyway, I'm excited. Let's start with Riolet on this thing. So Riley and Violet, if you remember from last week, we had let's say we had Giftgate, where he gave two of her daughters gifts and did not give one to Mama.
I mean, flowers, something. He didn't bring her
I
anything.
Know. I was pretty appalled about that.
It's
happening.
Her home. It's her home. You're going to someone's home. You bring a gift.
What do you, I did not like her calling him old and ugly in front of the woman. And he said something later. He's like, the worst thing, he's like, I could kind of understand if we were around family, but it's like, you did that in front of a stranger. And I think these were people that she may have known that had some familiarity, but he doesn't know them. And it wasn't fair. And I like it when he's saying, you called me fat and old and ugly. And she's like, I almost wanted her to say, I didn't call you fat. he threw that in
she
there.
She did. But she
did.
Maybe
she did call him fat.
Because she was talking about measuring his belly.
She did. She's like, I'm twice of your belly. She did call him fat. You're right.
And look, here's the thing. Like what we said is that it's not a joke that, if everybody's not in on the joke. He wasn't
exactly.
in on the joke.
He wasn't
she was speaking about him on another language. And then when he said, what are you saying? And she goes, I was just saying you're old and fat and ugly. It's not funny if you're not in on the joke.
She actually translated. That's why there's something about her. Yet she can be a little cutting, but there's something about her. I like her directness. And I actually, a lot of people have been saying, a lot of people who either have Vietnamese parents or some Vietnamese, one woman said, I just want to reach out because we asked this and we asked our listeners about this, if this was what she said was true. And a lot of breaches said, it's pretty true for my mom and my aunts because that's how they talk.
Just super blunt.
Yeah. And it's considered to play with each other. Now, when you're with your family members, you are super blunt and you kind of get the other person's goat.
Right.
And I actually texted my friend whose mom is Vietnamese and her father is American. And I said, just getting your perspective because doing a little research because I know your mom is Vietnamese. And I'm like, this character on the show says that all Vietnamese women talk that way to their men. And she's like, well, according my mother, she's like, my mother doesn't really to my father because my father wouldn't like it. She's like, but all my aunts treat their husbands like shit.
Okay.
But she said it is common to play in a very blunt and direct way. I just think culturally we're not really understanding that. And I don't think, and I think Riley's one of those who believes, this is one of my bones to pick with him, is that he's like, well, I've been hurt before and my fragile feelings are more important than anyone else's fragile feelings.
Right.
So there is this idea that we should all be respectful of Riley's feelings at all times because he's been hurt before because he's the only one in the world who's ever been hurt before.
Well, we had this huge conversation on the podcast about everybody says like, oh, he seems so angry and all this. And I'm like, we haven't seen him show any anger at all. We've seen him get a little offended or whatnot, but we haven't. Again, we're not seeing this anger. People are like, oh, well, you have to talk to Jake because he agrees that, you know, Riley's bad. And I'm like, I don't think he's a bad guy.
What I did say is he was fitting the sex tourist thing because he was choosing a Vietnamese woman. I didn't really talk about the anger as much. I did say throw him on the burn pile because I say that for all men. Basically, I think I'm understanding him more now. But at the same time, what I am starting to see is this conversation. Let me get right into it. I feel like, remember in the first episode when she took him to see like some of the military things and she, I want to show you more tanks, which is still one of my favorite lines. he's like, what about this? He's like, I want to show you more tanks.
I've seen them all. Yeah.
And I said, oh, we're at the Remembrance Museum. I'm like, oh, she's going to show him more tanks. And what I see, she says, well, every time I come here, I feel sad because the war happened. He's like, well, that happens with war. Sometimes it's sad. And there's something that's starting to happen of the way he participates in relationships is like, I need you to understand me because that's his big thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's ready to work hard to understand her. And I think for me, what bothers me most about him is the equity of the positions that either of them are in. And it's this idea of he's American. He has all the cards. And she knows that. And she's trying to negotiate that. And good for her for saying, we need to learn more about each other's culture. You need to learn more about it. He says, and you need to learn more about mine. And she's like, you know what? You're right. I should not have called you. I'm sorry. I should not have called you fat and ugly in front of that person who you did not know.
Right.
But she said, you did not bring my mother anything. And I will say, that's not just Vietnamese culture. That's culture at large. If you showed up to my mother's house without anything.
Yes. Yeah. Anything. Like, I mean, flowers, a candle, anything. Yeah.
I guess you weren't raised right.
That's right. No home training, as we would say.
No home training. And then she said, well, my mom may have told me that you were jealous and you wanted to control me and you're not thoughtful. And I think what there is this kind of, he's always appalled when she may have something else in mind, if he can imagine a world that where there would be someone else besides him in it, and he's appalled by it. So I think his world is very small that he lives in, and I think he's made it that way so he can kind of like listen to his jazz and smoke his cigars at the computer. And it's I'm kind of waiting to see because he does seem more human in this episode. I can understand why he's doing things. And they seem to kind of, there's a lot of progress made because they say, you're going to learn about my culture. I'm going to learn about your culture. And she says, this is not the way I talked about that is not rude in my country. And
let me ask you this. What did you think about last week when they had that little tiff in the street about her getting that shirtless picture, which is sus?
It is.
And then the two of them, the way they react to each other, both of them were so immature because it's like, oh, well, you're going to do that. You're not going to talk to me that way. I'm going to leave. Okay, bye. Bye. It's so immature. It's like on the playground, you know, you know.
Both of them need a little, both of them need to listen to more Brené Brown. Both of them could use the Heart Atlas or something. They both could use a little more vulnerability training. I just don't think these two people really know one another that well.
Yeah, I think that's right. What did you think about that shirtless picture, though? Do you think it was my friend sent me a shirtless picture so I could show another friend because they're dating? That seems a little...
Here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Just like Ricky in the first season of Before the 90 Days, if you can remember that bullshit Ricky.
Yes.
I think she's got a backup. Because she's like anybody. And I think she understands their relationship differently than he does. And I think that's on her side, because I don't think she wants to fully, she says, well, maybe I'll be your wife one day. She's thinking of this trip as them getting to know one another better. Mm-hmm. He's thinking of that as, I'm going to decide if she's going to be my wife at the end of this trip.
Right. Yeah.
They're still on the same page. And for him to say, you're a liar, you lie, that completely, and that's what he sees the world as, just a binary. Either she's a completely cheating whore or she's faithful.
And I think you're right. Yes.
And I think it's hard because I understand why people, I kind of softened to him a little bit this episode. I still think there's bad stuff in the can for both of them, because both of them have a temper and don't like to be pushed around. So we will see. I must say, when they were out to dinner, I was like, well, this is kind of nice. And she apologizes.
I got to ask something really quick. Do you think it's interesting that we haven't seen any hand-holding, arm around, kiss on the mouth?
It's true.
Nothing. And no chemistry. No discussion of maybe you'll sleep over or anything like that.
That is very true. And it could be in the editing, but that's a really good point. And did they kiss at the airport? I can't remember.
It was like they had a bet of whoever would touch the other one first, the other one would be
fuck
like
fuck that.
So stupid.
Fuck
so they
that
I don't know if they kissed or not, but they did make the joke about, I'm gonna get a room key for you for my room in case you want to come over, kind of a thing. But we haven't seen it since with all these other couples. At least we see, even with Cleo and Christian, we've seen them kiss or talk about their sexual attraction to each other or whatever.
That's a really good point.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and... the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe they'll work on it, but later on when they're out to dinner and she's like, mind if I wear a sexy dress? He's like, definitely not. And he's there in his white suit. And it's interesting. She says, tell me more about your country. And this is, of course, it's a leading question. If your sister doesn't like me, what happens? And she's like, well, if we were, it wouldn't matter because we're married. And I was like, how naive can you be? If that, You are so fucking naive. The thing, if your whole family doesn't like your wife, you think everything's fine? Jesus.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. And I think that she was like, okay. And then I think this is where things got a little weird. When he's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. We're going to call my friend Tiffany, and Tiffany's going to open
sister.
Up.
Tiffany's his sister.
Oh, I thought it was like friend that he said he's like his brother. Maybe you're right.
No, she said you look like your brother.
Oh,
they look alike.
Right.
Yeah, no, that is his sister. And it was strange because he brought up the thing at the table about
her being
texting
texting
the dad. And she goes, remember, we're not going to talk about anything tonight. He goes, you're right. We're going to have a nice meal. We're not going to bring up anything.
And then
so
she's
let
like,
me call my sister.
And I felt it was a little bit of dirty pool, letting his sister do the work for him.
Totally.
It feels like games, and I don't think she's going to play games because I guarantee you.
Agreed.
The reason why she's still on the apps is because she's keeping her options open.
Looking for something better.
I kind of respect it. This is, I talked about this and the Hazel principle, and this idea when you're in a bad situation or you want to do better for your family, like the Hazel and Tariq, where it's not black and white about if you love someone or you want a better place for your family and or your future generations. Mm-hmm. Everything is complicated in that world. So it's like you can't just every you say yes to everything, and you're considering, and you also have other options. So everything is gray in that. Because do we believe Hazel really loved Tariq? I know exactly. But we do believe she liked him enough to want to move to the U.S. with him and have a better future for her children.
Yeah. And it's interesting, though. Violet seems to have a pretty nice life.
Agree.
She has a very nice scooter. And she has a... she does. And she has a good job.
A fun group of friends who are her Sex and the City group. She's definitely the Samantha, as we decided.
Yeah. And she's gotten a nice family, and they seem to have a nice family home, and she has a steady job, and it's not like what we're seeing with David and Sheila, like abject poverty. What I mean?
Yeah. Sheila's house was in a typhoon and then it burned.
And they're still living there. Yeah. We're not in that same situation with Violet. So she could keep her options open. She didn't need to just get with the first guy that's going to throw her a bone. She didn't even seem like she's like dying to come to the U.S. really.
No. It's very interesting. She's keeping her cards close. I enjoy watching her because she always has something funny to say.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that she's that committed as much as he thinks either she is or committed as he is. So we'll see.
I don't think she thinks this trip is at the end of this trip. We're deciding if we're together. I think she thinks he's just visiting me.
He's visiting me and getting to know me. And I don't know. He doesn't seem to be very good at communication. He just kind of assumes. And so he's assumed a lot. And Violet has a rude awakening for him, I believe. So that's all I've got.
I will tell you, I reached out today to Kim and Kyle because a lot of the bunkies have been like, you just don't understand this. Riley is so terrible. He's so terrible. And I'm like, I'm literally recapping what is on my screen.
Yeah.
I'm not doing deep journalism to find out about this guy's backstory. If I was only recapping one show, I could, but I'm recapping eight.
Right. Yeah, totally.
So I reached out to Kim and Kyle and they were like, sent me a list of all these YouTube videos, which is like, I was like, just give me the worst one.
Yeah.
I haven't clicked on it yet. I was like, I don't even know if I want to see this. Cause they're like, what it is he was trying to do like some stand up and it's apparently like super problematic. The jokes he was making. Yeah. I was like, was this 20 years ago? And he thought
that's
he was
true.
Dave Chappelle. Yeah. And they're like, we don't know. Anyway, it's stupid. It's not funny. And it's just like weird.
So y'all,
like, all right.
If you go on a reality show, scrub your whole fuck. If I'm ever on a reality show, you will not find one scintilla of information about me. I'm scrubbing everything.
You got to hire a firm to scrub it for you. Yes.
I will need like witness protection to to do it for me.
Looks like Jake, but it's not him.
Someone shows it, and I will deny. Someone's like, I think you sent me this dick pic a while ago, and someone will grab the phone and like crush it.
Someone will just run from behind and slam that person to the ground. Yeah,
I'll pay anything. I'll pay anything to anyone who'll help me scrub all that shit. Anyway, we'll figure that out when it comes out. I'm sure, which it will. Mm. Do you want to talk about poor Ty? Oh God, Ty Ray.
Oh, Ty Ray. Oh.
I think I'm gonna meet Carmella, but I still think she's a lady. That's really ugly.
That's gorgeous.
Anyway,
makes
me feel sad about myself when I watch Ty Ray on my TV. Sorry.
Sweet.
Sweet, I bought that child's ukulele just so I could do these bits.
Dedication. It's a write-off. So he says, he's talking and he says, I just feel in my heart, Carmella is real. And that, you know, it's probably just a boyfriend or something trying to break us up. Like, that's what I feel. Okay. So that's what he's going with. So we last week came through a list of all the things that he hadn't come up with yet. That was, she's in a coma. She's in a coma, and that's why she can't write him back.
Yeah.
It was an evil twin.
Amnesia.
Evil twin. We're like, everything from a soap opera. He's come up with almost everything there is to come up with as to why this is not on the surface what it seems is a catfish. So he's in the car with his sister Lashanti, and he says, well, I've hired a PI to do some research. I'm going to get to the bottom of I'm not going to believe this production team.
No.
I'm going to get a PI to do my own research. So we meet with this guy. His name is Lewis. So Lewis tells Tyree and Lashanti, you know, I ran the phone numbers and some other items, and the numbers were all drop phones or untraceable phones. But an email did come back to a PayPal account, but it's private. It has to be subpoenaed. So I can't get that. But it's different than the PayPal that you have. And I did some reverse image searches, and he goes, yeah, you probably came up with those escort sites, right? And he goes, yeah, it's a little raunchier than that.
I'm leaning in.
And I'm leaning out. And I'm like, no, don't show it. But it's like this person in these pictures is a cam girl, porn star, cam girl. Cam girl. So, and he's like, she's a porn star. He's got this like New Jersey like cop accent. He's like, I hate to tell you, kid, she's a porn star. So he says, here's one of her Twitter accounts, okay? It says Sweet Carmella. And you'll notice she has some contact information here. She's got a PayPal account there. Doesn't match the one that you have, but her account is listed as the United States.
Yeah.
So he goes, oh, and Tyree leans over and goes, oh, right here it says fetish queen. Wow. So rubs his eyes, takes his glasses off.
At that point, we're all just going, do you get it now? And then he says, you know, none of this lines up with the Carmella that I fell in love with. I went, no, because that's a man. That's a man, Tyree. That's a man.
He does not get that he's been catfish. He does not get it. And he says, but you know what I'm thinking? It's like a light bulb, bing. Maybe the person behind the texting and the woman in the photo is two different people.
I died. I screamed, and I just want to, on the tell-all, I wish I could contact them and say, can I take Tyree into a room, a very soft, calming room, and explain this event by event, what happened, very slowly. And to give him the time he needs to process, he probably still won't get it.
Because we said when he first got the information, he was so upset. He's always throwing a phone. Yeah. He's always throwing a phone, like Clint from Love After Lockup. Quit throwing your phone, Clint. But then when we saw him last week when he was out there getting the ice cream with this, it had been 2 weeks. We're like, well, we've given him 2 weeks. So now it's even further than that. So Lewis says, I'm going to show you a video. And Tyree goes, okay. It's the girl's voice, you know, saying, hey, whatever, I'll lick your toes, whatnot. And he goes, well, I never heard her voice. One time she sent me a video, but no voice was attached because the voice part of her iPhone was broken. I mean, okay. And then he goes, Lewis goes, listen, I'm a PI. So what I'm telling you is these are the pictures, the same background. These are the pictures of the girl who is not the person that you're talking to.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That's my husband's favorite thing to say. Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? So he goes, he says to Lewis, you know, I think I'm just angry. Somebody got me. Somebody got me with photos of a porn star.
Yes, that's part of it. But still.
And he says, but I'm still confused. But I'm confused because they had a way to get in touch with the person I was talking to. So I want to see maybe if that person and Carmella, this person in the photos, were working together on the scam.
Good idea. It's only $500 more, and I'll help you figure that out.
Yeah. Lewis goes, yeah, it's possible. It's possible.
By the way, it's per diem.
Lashanti's like, how much are you paying this guy?
Exactly.
He told you all of this stuff. Pay me. So Ty Ray says, you know, after what I've been through, I'm going to have to tell my whole family about this because we're on a TV show and I told them my whole family would be on it. And
yeah,
it's going to be hard.
And then I went, holy shit, this is going to get even sadder.
I think he's got, there's like 8 or 6 kids in the family. Yeah. We've only met the one.
And it seems
we met the brother.
I said this in like the first couple of 2 episodes where it seems like his siblings kind of expect him to do everything for his mom.
Yes, totally. And he quit his job. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's in a tough position and you got to feel sorry for him. But at the same time, you're like, how could anyone be this gullible?
Once he got the information, he should have taken the information at face value, but we're still talking about it. He says, this is going to be so hard on his mom because he knows she's going to be disappointed because he's too old to make these mistakes.
Yeah.
So now he's at his apartment. That he shares with his mom, and his sister is there. Now, her name is Sharpia, okay?
Sharpia is the sister, yeah. Sharpia.
Sharpia. I have wrote it down phonetically because I
Shapreya.
Want to
say, I think it's Shapreya. Maybe I've said it wrong.
I wrote it out phonetically because all I want to say is Sharpay from High School Musical.
High School Musical.
Yeah, and it's hard. Anyway, Sharpia. So she's there, and he's getting his mom's pills ready for the week. He's doing all his things and they're talking and she says, let's have a beer. And he says to us in his talking head, you know, I've come to realize I was catfished. And we're like, okay, 4 weeks into this. And I've reached out to the real Carmela, which is a guy named Christian.
And she's she's taking it in.
I'm coming clean now. And I got to talk to my mom. So they sit down with the mom, whose name is Whitney, who seems lovely, like a lovely soul. And she's
in a wheelchair because she's had a stroke.
She's had a stroke. He takes care of her. But everything's there. She gets it. So she comes in and he says, listen, mom, I got to tell you and sister that I met a girl 4 years ago and she lives in Barbados. And they're like, oh, okay. And mom goes, when you went to Barbados to see her, that's when I was in the hospital.
And I went,
ooh. We didn't know that part. And Sharpia says, you know, I thought it was weird that that was the time you chose to go, but we thought maybe you really needed a break.
You really needed a break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Taking care of mom and understand. And he goes, well, yeah, the girl, she never showed up. And they're like, wow, well, good. That was the end of that, right? And he goes, no, I kept talking to her, even though she didn't show up to see me when I flew to Barbados and spent my last dollar. And they're like, they literally, one of them goes, what the heck?
And then he's like, yeah. And I'm thinking about going to Barbados. And the mom, I rewound it like 3 times. She went, for what? For what?
And he goes,
I need that clip.
He goes, you know, the producers have told me that I'm being catfished by a man. And the mom goes, wait, so are you talking to a girl or a boy? He says, well, we don't know because LaShanti and I went to a PI and the person in the pictures is a cam girl type model.
Mom's face is just, she's just watching like the newspaper run across her eyes. She's just like, holy fuck.
She is listening to this and she's like, she is exactly what he thought. Like, I have raised you better, right? Yep. And he goes, we don't even know who she is, where she came from, if it's a guy, if it's a girl. And so what I'm thinking about is going to Barbados. And she says, for what?
For what? For what?
And he goes, you know, Mom, I got to find the person behind the messages to find out why they did this. And I was really close with this person. We had the same goals and aspirations and dreams.
Business models.
She said she loved me.
She also loved to tan, and we were thinking about opening up a tanning salon.
I mean, yeah. She says, Mom says, you're going to take the last of your money to do that, to go see this person. Why is it so important? And then she looks at the sister and goes, I wish I knew who that person was. And sister goes, I'm ready to act up. I'm going to act up from this wheelchair. So
I love it.
She says, I know you want to find love or whatever, but you can't go back over there. And what would you even say to this person? So he tells us, I just need closure. And I do feel it's a woman that I love behind the messages. And if I could just see that person and see that she loves me like I love her. And I got to find out if that love was real or fake. If I find out that it's fake, that'll be the closure I need. Now we get Mom and Sharpia, and they're talking head. And Mom, they go, this is horrible. This has happened to him because he's so sweet and he's so bubbly. And we hate to see him so down and heartbroken. And he's going to need time to heal. And the sister goes, I have so many questions, but he like shut down and wouldn't give us a straight answer. And he seems to be holding on to some kind of hope that this is real. And that's the end of it. And it's just like this, double tears for Tyrae.
This person needs a lot of therapy to process this, probably starting earlier in his life when his father was murdered in a park.
And then they had to move.
Which probably led to his, as he said before, he became best friends with food. And I think it would have been more costly. I think it would have been cheaper to get a lot of therapy instead of talking to Carmela. But, you know, that's not where we are. And
What's going to happen?
I have a feeling we're going to go because this is B90. I have a feeling we're going to Barbados, whether we like it or not, and we're going to meet this man who was talking to him, and he will have a freak fit about it because the idea, this internalized homophobia that he may have been talking to a man the whole time has been freaking him out. And
yeah, I can't figure out if that's what's freaking him out.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Yeah.
What if it was like an old, gross old lady?
I think that would be better than a man.
That would be better than a man. It's not the fact that it was just a total cavet. And this, whoever this man is, obviously has 20 of these going at a time.
Yep.
And is using Carmela's picture of all of them because they're readily available.
It is weird that he spent so much time talking to him. And maybe that guy is just such a good catfish. It may be that Christian is just like the best catfish in the world.
It's full-time job.
It is really hard to watch. That's why I have to play the ukulele to get through it.
I love that.
Let's move on to Christian and Cleo. Where are you on? You guys last week, if you saw, she picks him up at the airport. They do kiss.
Mm-hmm. Kind of romantically with the hands on the face and the
whole thing. I agree. I still feel like he takes a little time to take time with it. I'm going to say this. I think they've got these dual problems of her autism and his kind of like, I want to go out and party and do things that may aggravate your autism.
Not good for her, right?
I think that may wind up being the bigger obstacle than her being trans.
He's a wild and crazy guy. He's just got a party.
He gets on my nerves, actually.
I think he was shit-faced when he landed.
I guarantee you we're going to see him probably drinking with her later. And people have asked me, because why not ask reality gays if you think they're like, is Christian gay? I'm like, I don't think it's that simple. I think I think there are men who claim to be straight and who are with trans women, and that is a thing for them, and that they're attracted to the person, or they proclaim themselves straight. I'm not here to say anything about what Christians' proclivities are. Yes. I think this is a thing where he's a little in too deep, because he was someone who tried to do lots of out there things. He's the friend who would try to do anything. I think this is, he tried something new, and I think he's a little bit over his head, because you can tell he is. Basically, he was back with him. He's like, it's going to take me more time to get over this. And he kind of went to bed very quickly. She was upset. I do think it's a little presumptuous of her to want more physical contact.
Like so quick, like right away. For anybody.
I think that's anybody, especially someone who has not been in a relationship with a trans person before, like at all. And I think if she's going to pursue it, she needs to keep that in mind, that it's going to be for both of them. I think, I don't know how many relationships she's had. So I feel like she's still living in a fairy tale though. And I think that's the big red flag for me.
She seems to be more into the relationship than he is, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the romantic kind of like the fairy tale-ness that it's all in her head. A lot of this is like having him call the kids, having him the cats call him daddy.
Well, and that's it wouldn't be a 90 day show if somebody didn't immediately start calling somebody.
Yeah,
this is your daddy.
That's right. Yeah, this is your daddy. So anyway, the next day he says, I feel bad. He tells her he feels bad about falling asleep so early. And she's like, you know, you did snuggle me in the night and I snuggled you. And he's like, oh, you spooned me? Cool, you're a big spoon. And she's like, that's when she says, I was disappointed. I wanted more physical connections. Later on, she takes this this kind of like topical estrogen gel and she calls it her fish juice. And I want to just address one thing. We've been getting a lot of people talking about this, and it's been in the chatter. When she said she was serving fish, Cleo said she was serving fish last week. And I think those of you who, and a lot of people, mostly cis women, said, you know, this feels like misogyny. And the expression, obviously, it's where you can think it is. You know, dealing with women's genitals and things like that.
But
and
it's a term from Drag Race, correct?
It's a term from drag culture. It's a term when women, drag culture, and actually early trans culture, like early trans culture in New York, saying, oh, you're fishy because you can pass as a woman. So, which actually led to a case of led them to be able to survive more, like trans sex workers. And if you were able to pass, oh, you would say, oh, you're so fishy, or you're serving fish, meant, oh, you could pass for a woman. And so it was a goal. And so what Cleo is trying to say, even though I understand a lot of you are saying it's a very misogynistic term, which I agree with you as cis women. But what Cleo is taught as a trans person wants to talk about her body as, I don't think we can police that. So I encourage you to try to understand where she's coming from, when she says serving fish, because one of her biggest goals is to be as authentically close to a woman. I guarantee you, she probably doesn't even think about what that, she even says later to him what that, she's like, oh, it's just jargon. It's what people say. It's being like a woman. And maybe she doesn't know what it comes from, and maybe she does, but you often hear it on Drag Race or in drag culture, where you're very fishy. You're more like a ladylike, which is a big goal for a lot, not all trans people, to not all trans women, to look as feminine as possible. But for her, it seems like that's her end goal. So
we got a lot of, because we said that's what she said, and Kimberly knew that it was from
drag
culture, and I didn't know. And I was like, well, I understood what it meant, but I didn't know if it was offensive or not. And then I was telling you that my daughter and her friend were over, and they were watching Drag Race.
Right.
And so I told them this, and I said, do you guys know this term? They go, yeah, totally. They say it all the time. And I said, do you think it's offensive? And they were like, no. And I was like, well, a lot of people were telling me that they think it's offensive. And they were like, huh, well, then you should apologize. I was like, I'm just trying to tell you that this is what the trans woman said on the show. And I'm asking you guys, since you're fans of the show, they've watched every single episode of every single everything. Do you think it's offensive? And they're like, no. And I said, well, people wrote to me and said, you don't say that anymore. And I was like, okay. And they were like, well, then you apologize right away. I was like, okay. I mean, I'm just doing my best. Just try. I'm going to ask Jake.
I think it's fine to feel however you want to feel about it. I think we need to imagine what Cleo is thinking when she says it.
I think that's a great point.
And I don't think she's meaning anything malevolent towards anyone.
I agree. I don't think she's got that in her.
Yeah, I don't. That's what I'd just like to ask people. I think if I was a cis woman, I think I'd be offended by it too. It never crossed my mind that when she said it, I thought, oh, that's a drag culture reference. That's a Drag Race reference. Mm-hmm. But I had never, until I thought about it, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That's kind of like, no. And already women get so much shit about being known for their genitals already and how they should feel ashamed about it. It was a thing in drag culture to take that back. Even though it wasn't really something that belonged to them in some ways. But it's y'all, it's really, really complicated. But I would just tell everyone it's not as binary as you would imagine.
Yeah. So I think that's a great point. Yeah. Let's just think about what Cleo meant by it. And she's referring to herself. So, yeah.
I think it's the least of their problems. Because holy shit. Like later on. He's saying things like, well, how long can I touch you not to get your estrogen all over? Because I don't want to become a trans woman if I get one drop of estrogen on me.
That was real cringy.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, Cleo's kind of like my James Bond girl. Because I was a big James Bond fan. I was like, I cannot stand this guy. And so they're going to stop for a drink. He's like, what's our first date? So it's kind of nice. And he apologized for falling asleep. And he says, I didn't want you to think I wasn't attracted to you. I was, but by being flirty. And he's like, oh, whiskey kiss. And then it triggered something in me. Like, if I drink enough, I can kiss you and it's okay. I don't know why it came up that way to me. Maybe that's not what he's feeling. But later on, they go to other bars. He's drinking more. However, they go to a place. He's like, yeah, I want to listen you up. I want you to get lively. I want you to, knowing this woman has autism.
Yeah.
And maybe he doesn't know about, maybe he hasn't Googled.
Right. Right. Maybe he hasn't done just slight research of the outside stimuli and how that could be bad for Cleo.
Right.
Yes.
And so I kind of agree. Maybe you could go to a more fun place, but find some way where she's comfortable. And she's already going to have a harder time saying, venturing what she's comfortable with, because this is someone who is, boy, she's already shy. And so they're at this crazy bar. There's just like, it's like they picked the most ADHD friendly bar in London. And all of a sudden it's what I call before, autism cam. Woo, 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 woo. Blurry, blurry, zoom, 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 autism cam. And it felt like MTV and like the early aughts, like cam. And so lights. Oh, so she's, it's kind of ridiculous. And
it's like pictures of the queen hanging from the ceiling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she says, I'm claustrophobic. They're getting some drinks. The next thing, he's like, yeah, hey, you want to hear a funny story? This is hilarious. I'm going to tell you a hysterical thing. I was on the plane and, you know, I was ripped. And so I was like talking to these chicks, you know, chicks. You know, chicks are just people you talk to on a plane. And I was like, hey, chicks, you want a drink? What's your name? I'm going to ask the flight attendant for some drinks. Why not buy a I'll just sit beside you, even though this is not my seat. Why not? And everyone, girls love strange men that they don't know to sit next to them on planes, especially when they're tipsy.
Can you imagine those two girls in their 20s are like, oh my God.
Get this fucker away from us.
Get him away from us. They probably pressed the when he went to call go button. Get the drinks, they probably pressed the call button and were like, get him away from us.
One of them's like fingering her rape whistle, just ready to go.
Ready. And, right here.
And this is the thing. And the flight attendant's like, we heard about you. And he's like, you're cut off. He's like, can you imagine? Isn't that a hysterical story? And I'm thinking, what in you thinks that was a good idea? It was a really rough side of him to see. And I think about the one thing that he said last week echoes and rolls around in my brain like a marble.
Okay.
He said, you know, it was really cute when you said that you thought I was out of your league. And I went, who would say something like that?
He mentioned it twice. Twice he was like, remember when you said I was out of your league?
It
that was so
fucked
nice.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
And I went,
it was so nice that you said that. I was like, she's out of your league. Take a look in the mirror.
I totally agree. She's out of your league. I got so grossed out by him, and it wasn't, this episode did not make it better. And it wound up with him just like chatting. I was like, hey, he's one of these guys at a bar I hate who I would never do this. Hey, what's your name? Hey, oh, it's cool. You're celebrating a birthday. You're 26. That's amazing. And he's like, come over here, Cleo. Get closer. Watch out for those things that are hanging from the ceiling. I don't want your eyes to be disturbed or for your autism to be triggered.
And I love when she was like, no, I'm going to stay. And then she's like saying to this table of women, like, it's not that I don't want to talk to you. It's just like, it's a little much. And then she probably feels
good
so
for her.
Weird and
it.
Awkward. Yep. Yeah, she feels bad because here he is trying to make friends and she's going, no, I can't get closer. And then she's like, now this table of women thinks I'm a weirdo, you know?
It is like they said, production said, hey, we're going to try to make Cleo feel as uncomfortable as possible.
Yes. I hated it.
Your mission, Christian, should you choose to accept it, is to make Cleo wish she was never born.
What if we find out Christian is the one that was catfishing Tyrae the whole time?
Yes, it's that. Mm-hmm. That's the one. Anyway,
yes.
At the very end, y'all, he basically goes, you know, this is my girlfriend Cleo, and like, and she's like, look, I want to go home. This is really too much to process, and he agrees to come home, not before he finishes his drink, and that's all we see. This is giving me such a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach.
It was more important for him for that table of girls to think he was cute.
Yep.
He's like, finger guns. I'm from the Midwest. Hey,
I'm
ladies.
I'm the life of the party.
Whoa, I'm just a crazy American. It was more important for that table of girls to think he was some cool American, which they fully were making fun of him when he left.
Totally.
Than to connect with the person that he's there to see.
Yep.
Yeah.
He can fuck right off. I'm over it.
I gotta
agree.
I'm
team Cleo all the way. This whole segment, that was me going, ugh, with this guy. Yeah. And while you're at it, start Rogaine now.
Just going to say something about, I was like, that backwards hat ain't hiding nothing, brother.
We know
what's happening.
We understand, and we know you understand what's happening.
Yeah.
And either get on board or get some Rogaine. That's all we need to say. Anyway, that's all I got. Mary Payne, thank you so much for doing this. It's always fun with you.
So fun. So fun. I think the next time I'm not going to wear like green against this background. It is a little loud.
I thought you were saying the next time, and you kind of touch yourself and you're like, I'm like, the next time I'm going to be topless.
What a thrill that would be for everyone.
I think the next time I'm going to do this topless.
I just get the camera from. No, it's just like I think probably
I always
for what you're
show
seeing.
My shoulders.
Like, ooh. Oh, ooh. Your creamy shoulders.
Yes, my creamy shoulders.
gorgeous.
This shirt is too small. It won't let me. Because I'm wearing gay shirts. Wearing gay clothes. All right. Thank you, Mary Payne. Y'all, this has been your B90 for this week. We'll be back again with Maddie, who's got a new face. But I don't think he can show it yet.
No?
I don't know if he can show it yet. We'll see.
I've seen it on the texting, and it looks gorgeous.
Good. Not like a ventriloquist dummy at all, right?
No, and okay. You'd be nice. You'd be nice.
I will. You're right. All right, you guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Mary Payne.